This week on Vaticano, find out what the church has been doing in Ukraine to support the faithful and those in need. Pope Francis is one of the most photographed people on the planet. Learn about all the ways the Holy Father uses media to share the gospel. And learn about the World War II story of the bombing of the Pope's summer residence in Castel Gandolfo. For this and more, Vaticano starts now. As France made the decision to include abortion as a right in its constitution, the Vatican reacted immediately. The Pontifical Academy for Life issued a statement of support of the French bishops. Earlier, the French bishops' conference had stressed that, quote, abortion remains an attack on life. They said it shouldn't only be regarded from the perspective of women's rights. Archbishop Vincenzo Paglia is the president of the Academy, and in his statement, he reminded the French legislators of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which protects life at all stages. France is a signatory to the declaration.
Ogni vita umana è unica e irrepetibile.
Citing the words of Pope Francis back from March of 2020, the Academy statement explains that the defense of life is not an ideological question for the Church, but a human reality to which all faithful are called. In an interview, Archbishop Paglia called for more collaboration in order to protect life at all stages.
We have to work together in order to preserve, defend, and promote life. I hope we can find a consensus to protect the most vulnerable lives.
In their statement, Archbishop Paglia and the Academy quote Pope Francis when they remind us that defending life is connected to, quote, an attitude of solidarity, care, and acceptance, which we are all responsible for handing down to the next generation.
I hope that international creditors will eliminate or at least reduce the foreign debt of the poorest countries and invest in social, educational, and health programs.
Cardinal Pietro Parolin said that solidarity is the key to changing structures responsible for poverty and exclusion. The Vatican Secretary of State chaired an award ceremony titled Economy and Society, organized by the Vatican's Centesimus Annus Foundation. This year, Carolina Montero Orfanopoulos won the sixth edition of the prize with her essay entitled Vulnerability, Towards a More Humane Ethics. Cardinal Parolin touched on this notion in his address.
The awareness of our vulnerability opens us to the experience of otherness, which disposes us to the gift of fraternity and to the encounter with God. In becoming close to our brothers, we will rediscover ourselves. We will rediscover our most authentic humanity.
Cardinal Parolin made it clear that solidarity and greater human fraternity are the antidotes to the current economic and political challenges. The Cardinal also used the opportunity to address the ongoing wars in Ukraine and in the Holy Land. He also found clear words for the recent plans of sending European troops into Ukraine, calling it an apocalyptical scenario.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vaticano Updates, the most important news from the Holy Father and the Vatican. In a meeting with a French organization carrying out research on vocations, Pope Francis warned against gender ideology, calling it the ugliest danger which cancels out differences, and that erasing differences is erasing humanity. Pope Francis called for Israel and Palestine to reach an agreement for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Speaking in his Sunday Angelus address, the Pope made an emotional plea for a deal to free the hostages and grant civilians access to humanitarian aid. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz met Pope Francis in Rome. After the audience, Scholz said they discussed the major challenges and problems of our times, like the war in Ukraine and in Gaza. According to the Vatican Press Office, the importance of the Christian faith in German society was also emphasized. The restrictions on the traditional Latin Mass will not affect the priestly fraternity of St. Peter. During a private audience with the fraternity, Pope Francis confirmed this to the Superior General, Father Andre Komorowski. The apostolic letter, Traditionis Custodes, had sparked debates on the letter's implementation regarding the community, which only celebrates the traditional Latin Mass. Every year on the eve of the second Sunday of Lent, the Holy Lance is presented to the faithful in St. Peter's Basilica. The relic, also known as the Lance of Longinus, holds a significant place in Christian tradition. The Gospel of John provides the sole biblical reference, recounting that a Roman soldier named Longinus, on the eve of the Sabbath, ensured Jesus' death by piercing him in the side with the lance. Thank you for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. Anthony Johnson for EWTN Vaticano.
In a few moments, we'll be back with more on Vaticano.
We believe that God does not want this war. Yeah? God doesn't want this suffering, this death, and he wants this peace.
For 2 years, the war in Ukraine has been raging. More than 10,000 civilians have been killed, including children.
How many victims and injured people? How much destruction, anguish, and tears in a period that is becoming terribly long and the end of which cannot be seen yet?
On the second anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, church leaders once more have called for peace and an end to the global arms trade. The community of Sant'Egidio has provided aid and relief on the ground. The Lay Catholic Association, founded in Rome, is dedicated to social service, but also engages on an international level in peace initiatives. Paolo Impagliazzo, Secretary General of the community, shared with EWTN what they've been doing since the start of the war 2 years ago.
Starting immediately after the war, from March 7th, 15 days after the beginning of the Russian invasion in Ukraine, the first shipment of humanitarian aid departed from Italy to Ukraine. We supported the most vulnerable, those who had to leave their homes, the refugees.
In total, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees reports that some 6 million people have fled Ukraine, mostly women and children. While some families have returned, most are living abroad as refugees, hosted by private families or various charitable organizations.
We supported the evacuation, for example, of disabled or elderly individuals, as well as many children. We also opened shelters for the elderly and disabled in the western part of the country, in the city of Lviv.
The war's impact on children has been a major concern. The United Nations Children Aid Agency has documented nearly 600 children have been killed in the war, and some 1,224 have been injured to varying degrees, while thousands of others, mostly from occupied cities, have been forcibly deported to Russia. Russia claims to be rescuing the children from war zones. The Vatican has sent an envoy of peace, Cardinal Zuppi, and he has succeeded in bringing many children back to their families. Sant'Egidio community has organized the School of Peace initiative to work with the kids who have suffered from wartime trauma.
C'è la storia di un bambino che mi ha molto colpito perché è un bambino che non riusciva più.
There was a child who could no longer relate to or interact with other children. He would either stay silent or scream due to the traumas he experienced during the war. He had lost his friends and didn't know who to play with. Through our School of Peace initiative, this child found a way to communicate with other children. He no longer stayed silent or screamed, but instead, he found a peaceful way to interact, play with others, and find a new family.
Infanzia, poter giocare con altri, ritrovare una famiglia.
As the war enters its third year, the mood in Ukraine has changed from one of defiant resistance with a sense of international solidarity. But as the long toll of war continues, many are beginning to experience despair and fatigue. Director of EWTN Ukraine, Father Alexander Zelensky, has been serving the people since the beginning of the war and shared in an interview to EWTN correspondent Colm Flynn how the war has affected the faith of the faithful.
We can see from one side, we can see that people try to have their ordinary life. But from the other side is this what we can't see. It's like what is inside people.
Some, heaviness. There's
yes,
a heaviness there.
Yes, some heaviness, yes. So something which is in the heart of people. We can see everything, but this is like in the heart of people. God is with us and He will help us to rebuild, to renew what is destroyed.
Another Catholic organization, the Order of Malta, has been providing humanitarian aid on the ground in Ukraine.
I noticed that at the beginning a strong will of population to defend their territories, their homes, their life, their style of life. And I would like to underline that also in this moment, after 2 years of war, you can see the worry of people. The question when we can find a way out, when the war will have an end.
What can we do? What can the people out there do to help bring peace in Ukraine?
Io rispondo da cristiano.
I respond as a Christian, and therefore I believe that the first work, I truly say it, the first work is that of praying. There is a need to invoke peace from God. Many times, men do not know how to give themselves peace. There is a need to ask for it. We must invoke peace.
Eleven years ago, on March the 13th, 2013, the election of Pope Francis marked the commencement of a new era for the papacy. In addition to the world becoming more digital than ever before, the Church found itself needing to adjust to the demands of the digital media age.
I think that the Church is probably the most innovative organization on communication. Considering the 2,000 years that we have so far. So we, as a church, we will continue improving and looking for new ways to spread the good news.
At the inauguration of a wireless service. In 1931, Pope Pius XI founded the Vatican radio station. For the first time, people around the world could hear the voice of Peter's successor over the radio.
Quello che l'occhio non vede, e che la mano non raggiunge.
Almost 50 years later, Pope John Paul II founded the Vatican television station, CTV. In 2005, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger was elected pope. The age of the internet began. December the 12th, 2012 became a historic day in the media history of the church. Pope Benedict was the first pope ever to write a tweet. With Francis, the new pope not only took over the chair of Peter in 2013, but also Benedict's Twitter accounts. Daniela Rasa, who works as a communications consultant for the Vatican, has followed how the Pope's communication strategy has evolved.
The explosion of the social media has come later with the current Pope, during the papacy of Pope Francis. So certainly the continuity of using the media, the social media in this case, has also exploded in the sense that Pope Francis and his entourage and the people that helped him decided to really try to transmit the view and the teachings of Pope Francis through all the different media. In the sense, the Vatican today is using many social media, and the Pope is one, a star, we can say, in the social media.
Pope Francis knows the importance of the media for the Church. Once a month, the Vatican publishes a Pope video on YouTube. In it, the Pontiff speaks about a specific intention and calls on Catholics to unite with him in prayer.
Considering the
Juan de la Torre is part of the team that produces the videos for the Holy Father.
I think that we need to use technology as a tool. We have the cell phone and we have like the most important minds on earth trying to spend like 1 second more there. So there's a kind of a fight there that we need to realize that we are David and Goliath.
That's difficult to say because certainly the number of likes or followers, even followers, doesn't mean that everything that is read or is clicked on over reaches the heart. No? Certainly the Pope, and not just the Pope, but any person who wants to reach others needs to be in the social media. Today the social media are part of the environment, but certainly that's not enough.
Professor Arasa sees also a great opportunity for evangelization despite the difficulties.
Certainly the personal testimony is always probably the best way to diffuse the faith, no? Diffuse the gospel. But many times this personal contact comes after a contact through the social media or through the media. So I wouldn't put apart any of them. I would try to say we need to use all of them. And because we are part of the world, and the world today is also the social media. And evangelization certainly is part of the mission of the Church. So if we want to evangelize, let's also use the media for that.
In 2,000 years, the mission of the Church hasn't changed. Pope Francis, the digital evangelist pope, is just adjusting to the modern world. We'll be back after a short break with more on Vaticano.
In mezzo un prete.
There was a priest who at a certain point raised the cross towards the sky, shouting, "Blood of Christ, protect us. Holy Mother, come with us."
Cristo, proteggici. Madonna Santissima, vieni con noi.
Castel Gandolfo is an Italian village on the shores of Lake Albano. Its papal villas are known to have been the summer residence of the popes for many years. But during World War II, it became a refuge for people seeking to escape the war.
Before, in 1944, in January, the Pope opened the Papal Palace in Castel Gandolfo and the gardens to more than 12,000 people to welcome them and to save them.
On the morning of February the 10th, 1944, the war descended upon Castel Gandolfo. American military bombers were mistakenly informed of the presence of German armed forces in the area and dropped bombs on Castel Gandolfo, causing 500 deaths. Cardinal Fernando Vergez Alzaga, the president of Vatican City State, presided over the conference. It commemorated the 80th anniversary of the bombing of Castel Gandolfo. The event also inaugurated a photo exhibition, providing a detailed account of the events through historic reconstructions and actual photographs. The exhibition, entitled Castel Gandolfo 1944, is curated by Luca Carboni and aims to tell the story of those dramatic weeks, the survivors, but also the victims.
This picture had never had, by the very will of the child's father, who had lost her, her sister, and her mother here. Today, though, the surviving sister authorized me to give the name Fernanda. That is a picture that looks like hope. But unfortunately, that little girl with her head bandaged died 2 days later. In this photograph, she was only 4 years old.
Pope Pius XII had done his utmost to prevent the tragedy, offering shelter in the most private rooms of the palace. The Pope's welcome allowed the birth of 36 babies during the first months.
Vatican museums are masters in museography and organizing exhibitions. So we work together with the Secret Archive, Vatican Apostolic Archive, and the direction of the Ville Pontificie. We work all together, but specifically the museums worked to make this exhibition available to the large public that we hope that for an important piece of our history will come and visit us.
This exhibition is an important opportunity to keep alive the memory of all those who lost their lives on that tragic day. It also testifies to the zeal, spirit, and charity of Pius XII towards war refugees, without distinction of religion or political creed. Immediately after the bombing, the Pope opened the doors of the pontifical villas to refugees and the wounded.